for me, it's all about personal branding and just getting that across. And that's what podcasts serve. It's such an intimate platform. Like, if I'm in your ears, if you're listening to me for 30 minutes, sorry, like, apologies about that. But like, it's so intimate that it's, you leave a mark, as you said, like, you, because if you listen to Bartlett again, you'll kind of turn your stomach listening to him because it's in your
physically
ears.
Physically upsets me.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's just that people grant us that time in their ears.
I feel scanned to you for Stephen Bartlett. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're listening.
No.
Fantastic. So first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for coming tonight. I know it's difficult. I know everybody is super busy. But we are really, really appreciative of you being here. Even more appreciative, I suppose, of that you've listened to the pod. It's been, this is our 21st.
Yes.
So a big milestone for us. And you'd actually be amazed at how many people don't get to, well, number four, let alone number 20, which is pretty amazing. So we're loving doing it. We're really enjoying it. And so we're really, really excited to do this first live. We will do more. And I suppose, first of all, we're just going to reintroduce ourselves because, well, because we can. So I want to introduce myself. My name is Sian Horn. I am the founder of Elite Pilates, the Club Women's Network, a national network for women that work for themselves. I also create content. I know that more these days. And so I do a lot of travel and food, clothes. We like to try and clothes, don't we, Judy? And yeah, so I am a mixed bag. I'm certainly not niched down. Judy Russell, will you introduce yourself?
I am extremely nervous. I'm actually like, oh my God, what are we doing? Why did we agree to do this? But it's, I always say to the guys, like, it's funny, I'm so used to talking to camera and I'm totally grand and comfortable talking to camera. But like, then when there's actual eyes, you're like, oh my God, this is way different. But my name is Judy Russell. I teach people how to make videos through the Vid Academy, and sometimes I make videos. Yeah.
You good? My name is Jen, and I am the co-founder of a digital marketing agency called Velocity Growth, and we specialize in performance marketing. So that is called a kind of dollar in, dollar out marketing, where you put money into the machine and hope it gives you money back. And usually it does with us. So
sounds like my kind of machine. Yeah. Amazing.
My name is Jay Willard. I am the founder and creative director of Ad32, which is the best video production company in Monster.
No,
we create content for SMEs, corporates, all different kind of products, food, fashion, all that kind of stuff. So it's between photo and video. And I only produce one podcast. People might have known me before to produce a lot of podcasts, but I've pulled it all back, and I'll tell you why during this podcast.
Absolutely. And we have to say where we are at, because we're in Take Nine Studio in Cork. Makes me very proud to be a Cockney Cork girl from Wales. But it's an amazing, amazing studio. So thank you so much for our hosts, Killian and Leah, for letting us use this space tonight, because it's an amazing space. And how lucky are we to have this in Cork?
Yeah, absolutely.
I call it home. So this is my...
Oh, yes, you were.
They're stuck with me on a daily basis. So.
Amazing. So listen, let's start with where it all began, I suppose. So I think, like, it started in your head, Judy. So where did the first idea of getting like this collaborative together come from?
Loneliness. Being on my own all the time in an office going, I wonder what everyone else does. And like, I'd love to know what other people are actually doing or how they deal with stress or bad clients or anything. So I said it to Shan, but you see, this is where now I'm like, I have an idea, and then I'll ponder it for 3 years and then nothing will happen. This is Shan's glory. I'll say it to Shan. She came over to my house to collect a mic, I think. And I was like, you know, I'm thinking like four people, and like, okay, I'll call Jay, you call Jen. And then next Wednesday we were like filming, and I was like, okay, this is great. Okay.
But it's true. And I think, look, we can all be procrastinators. I'm not, I'm a really quick processor. So if someone says to me, I've got an idea, actually, Jay, you're very similar to me, I just go, okay, what day are we doing it? However, I did say to you one thing, and this was important to me because I do a lot of other pods myself and with other people. And it's really difficult to do pods with other people. So the one thing that we all agreed on was that number one, we would do it for 52 weeks. We would commit to it and we would be consistent.
I don't remember that part. I'm just saying. I remember you saying 20 weeks. I remember you saying 20 weeks.
No, I definitely said for you.
20 to 30 to 40.
Well, no, I joke. Flexibility, do you know what I mean? But the other thing was that we weren't going to edit and produce this because otherwise one person ends up doing a lot of the workload and then somebody begrudges it, then it all starts to sort of fall apart. So I don't know how you feel. I know how I feel about turning up, having great crack and then leaving. But it's different, isn't it? And yeah. Jen, you know, you guys edit a lot. So how do you feel about it after 20 weeks?
So good that Aoife is now doing all of my Instagram content as well. So Aoife's fantastic.
Aoife's our producer in the back over here in the white chair.
Yes.
And I'm actually going to bring her up. But Aoife, if you just pop up because you are, you know, the fifth... You're like the spare wheel on the back of the car, aren't you? Like when everything, like we pull Aoife in for everything. But, you know, you have a great business. She's flown in from France tonight. I always have to say this before you start speaking. She is ours. No one is allowed her. Judy found her. She is now part of our family. And that is the end of that. No poaching. I will find you and I will kill you. But tell us a little bit about your business and what you do for podcasts.
Yeah, so basically for the Unbranded podcast, they come in, they sit down, they do all their bit, and then I take it all afterwards and I put it all together. And that's my favorite part, is being there with you guys and just being able to
sit in on the whole thing.
Yeah, I do. So while you guys are chatting away, I take little notes for social media bits, if you know anything cuts out or anything like that. And then when I've come back to the edit, I kind of know what I need to do.
And that's key, isn't it? Because when you're doing a podcast, I know actually I heard of someone have like a little button underneath their desk when they think, oh, that's a really good thing they just said. And I do another pod actually that Aoife also works on, and you don't sit in on that one and we send you, that's a good line. Yeah. But this is like, but you don't just do the pod, you look after our social, like it's a huge part of this and this is a business.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for Jen, I've started helping her with her social media a bit. Rishan, of course. And then, of course, Judy, who I met in Creative Digital Media in MTU. So thank you, Judy.
Thank you, Aoife.
I don't give her any of it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, G.
I'm waiting.
Point that out.
Yeah, because he's so good at what he does. but Aoife, we wouldn't have a pod without you. So, like, no. We are so appreciative of you. So thank you very much. She's amazing. Again, you can't have her. Amazing. So let's talk podcasting. We're here tonight. We want everybody to understand like the importance of podcasting. And I think people actually don't really get how big it is and that really it's just starting because lots of people have a pod, but lots of people have a pod and don't have a pod series or maybe aren't connecting with their audience like they could. So we always do what pisses you off. And I'm going to start with that tonight and just say, Jano, I'm going to start with you. We'll work up. What pisses you off about podcasting?
There's too many of them.
Okay.
Everyone has a podcast. No, genuinely, because like people see it as we're lucky enough in the scenario that there's the four of us here. We're all coming from very different backgrounds. You can definitely learn. So if you've listened, you've heard what we do. But there are people out there. I've listened to podcasts. I'm like, they've talked for 40 minutes and said nothing. Do you know what I mean? And it's tough. It's just finding that balance. And I don't think everyone wants to do it at the moment. It's a trend. It's like donuts. But like, that's what it was at the moment. And look, at the moment, it's just it's trying to filter. Find your right podcast. I think I have like 6 podcasts I listen to. And at that, I'm happy when I get the notification. And I'm kind of afraid to wander back out to find more unless it's highly recommended to me.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I just think it's just a bit too much out there. That's why I was, when Judy approached me to do this, I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. Firstly, I was like, I'm not doing any work. I'm not editing any. I'm not doing. But then it was said, there's a producer involved. Aoife's doing all that kind of stuff. And these are the ideas. And the fact that we said we want to kind of be raw about that kind of stuff. That's what approached me. Or that's what attracted me to it as well. So.
You never said that, G.
This is it. I wouldn't tell you anyway.
It's all coming out now, isn't it?
Wouldn't tell you.
And I did say 52 weeks ago.
Yes.
Judy's afraid to say anything else.
Absolutely. Jen, anything that's niggling you at the moment in the area of podcasting?
It's definitely the consistency. So, you know, I've seen lots of businesses get started with it, And I've seen lots of businesses get started with it on the premise that, you know, they're going to have lots of long form content that they can cut into short form content. And now all their social media is filled out and now everything else in between. But then they don't realize the magnitude of the work that goes into the long form to begin with, and not to mind cutting it all down. And I know AI can be supportive in that space now as well. And then it just kind of falls off a cliff after a few weeks. So it's, you know, but a good structure and a good plan in place before you get started can make just a world of difference of, right, we're going to do this, then we're going to cut it up, and then we're going to take the steps from there. But usually people don't realize the process in between.
Couldn't agree more. And Jude?
Bad audio. Shout out to Paddy Barker, who is in the room, who runs Barker Photographs. No! Stop selling shit mics. No, I'm joking. Any mic is better than nothing. No, but Paddy has a great shop where you can get all the stuff. But I used to use a condenser mic. I hated seeing the mic in the shot. So I used a condenser mic pointed down at my mouth out of frame. And I thought that was cool.
It's
and then I'd
fancy.
Listen to
very fancy.
Yeah, I'd listen to my voice and I'd be like, it's still not good. So I recently got a dynamic mic and I have it in the shot and then I speak into it and it only picks up like the air that kind of blows into it. So nothing else. My mom is downstairs. My studio is on top of my mom's kitchen. And she's like, hello, Teresa. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry if she's listening. And I'm like, shh, shh. But now it actually doesn't even take her voice in. So it's been a game changer. But I hate when I find a podcast on a topic that I'm really interested in and then the person's mic isn't good enough and then I just can't listen. Unless I download the podcast, put it through Adobe Podcast Enhance and then listen. So that's a bit of a cheat.
Yeah, sound. And actually, I learned this from you a couple of years ago about sound and didn't even realize it myself. So I did my first podcast in 2018, and a lot of you will know I'd never listened to a podcast before I did that. In fact, I didn't listen to a podcast until end of 2019, 2020, because I never wanted to know what it was about. I was just going to chat. However, when I started listening then, and one person would be really loud and the next person would be really quiet, and I'd be in the car, like turning it up, turning it down, like so frustrated.
Yeah.
And a lot of these are actually massive podcasts, like BBC productions and et cetera. And I'm like, it's not that difficult. But I suppose my gripe is if it's an interview style pod, is that, Jay, you better not laugh now, is that the MC or whoever's facilitator talks too much. But it drives me mad.
Yeah.
So I'm like, shut up. I want to hear their story. And I think it's only when you listen to, like, I do another podcast about the Diary of a CEO and I can't listen to it anymore. It just doesn't stop talking.
Like, from doing that, you don't like Stephen Barrett that much anymore, do you?
No, it was probably like, I've got 3 episodes left and I just can't wait to finish it because
saw him live as well.
I saw him live and I really, that was it for me.
That tipped you over the edge.
It tipped me over the edge. I was worried when I got there. I'll tell the story quickly, actually. It was a Sunday night at 8 o'clock. Stephen Bartlett, very, you know, 90 quid to go and see Stephen Bartlett. Anyway, got there, knew loads of women there from all over the country. And we were all like, and lots of people by themselves. And I was like, this is like a little crew here. This is great. But we were all going, I mean, what time is this? Sunday night, it's 8:30. I'm normally in bed by 9. So we were all like, why has he done it so late? Anyway, the story is about the laws of life and business. And anybody that's gone to any sort of motivational talks or anything, you'll know that you sort of start here, you come up, you might lower it, and you finish on a high, don't you? And everybody's leaving going, I'm the shit. This is brilliant. Oh, my God. No, not Mr. Stephen Bartlett. He took us up and then he dropped us like a lead balloon and talked about mortality, how many days I've got left to live, and went, bye. Showed a video of a 32-year-old woman on her last day of her life. I'm actually just choked even thinking about it. Most of the menopausal women in the audience were in tears. And then we all just kind of left like zombies going, what the fuck just happened?
Add 90 euro plus fat, please. Plus fat, please.
Plus fat. I was disgusted. And the next day we had to do the pod. And I was like, la, 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 la. But I can't wait to finish it. It's put me off him. And I know what he's doing because he's got a piece in his book about entertaining the 20%. And I'm sitting here talking about it. It's marketing. Mm. However, I believe that it's how you make people feel. And he made me feel like shit. So he's gone in my world. Mm. And Aoife actually does the pod, and we were doing one law a week. And after we went, we were like, let's do two laws a week. I've got 5 weeks left. Come on, we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. But actually listening to his pod now, there's a couple of good people on there recently that I've had to listen to, but he just keeps interrupting them and in as they're in flow. And I know his story. He tells it every week. I know your story. It's grand. So that really grates on me. But I suppose, you know, because it's so powerful, podcasting, and people, when you tell a story, someone's going to resonate with it. And it's really, really important. I know we don't use this for our businesses, but like with your business background, Jay, like how important is pods for you as a business to be on a pod and for you as a business to represent yourself?
It just kind of, I'm a firm believer of people away from people. I always have been, like, that's why with the donut shop I had Huckleberry's, we did a vlog. Everyone knew the staff's name. Like, we were up front and everyone was like, hey, Jay, it was a thing I needed people to know our names and say hi to us. Because, oh, sure, when my staff go, you can actually get a 12 box for this much more, they'll go, you know what, Shane, you're dead right. And that's what you want, that kind of thing. So, like, people away from people. So if I can come on and just have the crack with you, but show I'm knowledgeable on what I can do and what I've done, it's a great way for a client or potential clients to go to Facebook or to Instagram and see what I've shared or whatever and see who I actually am. Because that's me on the podcast. Like, it's taking the piss out of Shan, having the crack. Like, you know, like that's what we are. We're like having crack. And it's that's what I really like about it. We have good fun. But for me, it's all about personal branding and just getting that across. And that's what podcasts serve. It's such an intimate platform. Like, if I'm in your ears, if you're listening to me for 30 minutes, sorry, like, apologies about that. But like, it's so intimate that it's you leave a mark, as you said. Like, you, because if you listen to Bartlett again, you'll kind of turn your stomach listening to him because it's in your
physically
ears.
Physically upsets me.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's just that people grant us that time in their ears.
I feel scanty for Stephen Bartlett.
Yeah. If you're listening,
no. Yeah, we'd love to be on your new channel. No,
we're sorry.
But it's true. Like, it had a physical effect that I will stay with me. Mm. You know, it's like, I don't know, like, I'm scared of heights. It probably comes from when my dad used to think it was funny to do that against the side of a cliff, you know, and pull you back. But I'm petrified of heights. Yeah. I mean, things stay with you, and that feeling that he left us with, and I'm not the only one. I discussed it with a lot of people, and the feeling that he left me with is a feeling that you don't lose. It was just a very sad, low moment.
Yeah.
And he created it.
This one is called The One Where We Hate Stephen Bartlett.
Yeah. Well, let's talk to the 20%. That's what I say. Do you know what I mean? We'll go by one of his laws. But Jen, for you, like, you know, we did actually an episode, didn't we, on personal branding, and you were just talking about that. The pod for you, like, why is it important for you?
Podcasting has, over the years, changed the trajectory of my career inadvertently, kind of repeatedly. So before this podcast, dare we speak, I had a podcast called The Digital Marketing Scoop that I was working with Mark Flavin from what is now 3B1. And I interviewed this guy called Shane McCarty, and he was the chief marketing officer of a company called Sandbox based out of Washington. And that was fine. Episode went well. His colleague Craig reached out via DMs on LinkedIn and said, loved the episode. And I was like, cool. And 2 years later, he ended up reaching out and to ask me to do a little piece of content for him that was inevitably turning into this company. And we ended up being business partners. We grew out a nice company over the last 2 or 3 years. So we ended up, you know, collaborating. But it was amazing, the network effect of that, where he had listened to that episode. Then he had connected with me and had just been consuming my content. I wasn't even aware. He wasn't liking it or engaging with it or commenting or anything like that. It was just his peripheral vision for 2 years. But it got to a point where he felt connected enough to me to trust me to come in as a co-founder on a business and start it up in COVID. We started that business and we weren't even able to meet in person for a year because of COVID. And I remember the first time we were meeting, we had masks on and everything. So it's amazing the connections that you can build with it.
It is mad, isn't it? And you, Jason?
Actually, the first podcast I ever made was about the incinerator project when Indiver were planning to build an incinerator in Ringaskiddy. And Linda and Zoe Fitzpatrick were the first people that I interviewed. And the reason that I wanted to do a podcast was I wanted to learn about it. Mm. There was so much information. This thing has been going on for years and years and years. And I was like, well, if I'm finding out about it, maybe I'll just record it. And I think I only got to 3 episodes, but they were 3 hours long. And I learned a lot about everything there. But I was using terrible mics and it was a good lesson. But you kind of have to do stuff. Like, oh, yeah. Crap,
you have to
first.
Make shift content to good content.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but then totally forgot them when I was going to say, oh, yeah, it's a good thing about Stephen Bartlett. I was listening to him earlier. Stephen, I have something positive to tell you. He was saying, right, that he was making loads of 2-minute Facebook videos. Mm-hmm. And the reach on those Facebook videos was like 3 million. And it was like insane. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was just reach. And then he was making the podcast and it was getting maybe 1,000 downloads per podcast in the early days. But he said that people kept coming up to him and talking about the podcast. Yeah. Nobody could remember what was happening in the Facebook videos. They had nothing to grasp. So he was like, this is the difference between reach and depth. Podcasts have depth. Social media content is for reach. And I thought that was really great, Stephen. Please still like me.
No, I will give Stephen that because I 100% agree with Stephen on that. And I do because, you know, when podcast has taught me so much. You know, Be Bell podcast is all about inspirational women. I've learned so many from many, many things from those women. I'm not a reader, by the way. I hate books, including Stephen's. So I'm an audio person.
We have no intention of starting this podcast.
I know.
Stephen.
I haven't even got him in my notes. Like, but
we digress.
Yeah, we digress. But so I've learned so much from those women. When COVID hit, obviously, I just went live every day on social media. I interviewed over 250 small businesses around Ireland. I learned so much. And then, you know, I live in this little world of having a bit of fun on social media now and creating stuff. And without this, I might like I'm so much better now. I learn so much from you guys. This is how I learn. I'm a visual and audio learner. So you guys make me better.
Gosh. Same.
That's pretty much, isn't it?
You feel okay? Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Something's stuck in my throat. But it does. And Podding, I think people really underestimate it, but I've also used it another way as well, which has really helped me in business. Is I sponsor a lot of podcasts, and I've sponsored 3 up till now, I suppose. And it's that thing, that authenticity, that the authority figure, people, experts in their field. I know from my pods, and we know from this one, the first one, which is always your worst, you know, because you're getting used to people. But everybody, if somebody joins and they join at 8, they always go back to 1 and they start from the beginning.
Yeah, the metrics are wild. Like, even when we look at it, and it's so annoying because you're like, the first one is the worst. Why is everyone starting there? But everyone starts at the start, and then you see this big spike, and then episode 2 always has the little drop off, and then it spikes back up again into episode 3. And I've never worked on a podcast where the analytics didn't look like that. But you can start in the middle. It's okay.
No, absolutely. But I just think people don't. So for me, like, the 3 pods that I've sponsored over time were right at the beginning. So obviously I could sponsor them at a reasonable rate.
Yeah.
But it's there forever.
But the beauty of sponsoring podcasts more recently is that there's adjustments that we can make now on the back end. Whereas, say, for example, if a sponsor came and wanted to sponsor all of the past episodes, you can insert the sponsorship afterwards. So you can place a sponsorship retrospectively. Of course, unless it's like embedded in the audio, like if we had someone come up now and do like the little announcement into it and it was like embedded, but actually within Spotify and all of the platforms, you can say, okay, now we'll insert this here. So I don't know. One of my favorite podcasts, which is on the darker side. And actually, I believe Leah gave me the recommendation for My Favorite Murder. but they do it very well. You'll hear, if you go back to some of their first episodes, it's still fresh and new sponsors and ads that they're reading, which is pretty cool.
That is very clever. I must look into that.
Yeah.
I'm making some calls.
Aoife, note that, please.
Yeah, write that down, Aoife, write that down. What was, like, obviously we talk about the milestone of number 20. And again, there's a reason for that. Mm. Because I think people don't realise, like, what the drop-off is. But 20, Like you told us the steps of the exit.
I think it's 97% of podcasts don't make it past episode 3. 10% of the remainder of that don't make it to episode 20. And then past that, it's like 0.3% of them go past 20, isn't it?
Then it goes back to what pisses me off, which was the consistency, which is like, if you can just get to 25, you're in the top 1% of podcasts worldwide. It's not a massive number to hit to get into that remit. And then as you, like any podcast I've ever worked on, when you start getting to that 40, 50 mark, we were discussing this, was it yesterday as well, where it just compounds out of the, you know, into the thousands then as well.
I think as well, your listenership becomes, it's a loyalty thing then as well.
Yeah.
Because for instance, Bebel, I just started re-recording that because we saw that 4,000 people listened to it last year. And I was like, I haven't recorded anything on that for 18 months.
Yeah.
So if they're still listening, it's like we need to bring it back.
I have an ex-wife of a podcast called Content is King.
Oh, yes.
And with Mira Foley, and I'm still getting hits on that. So I'm still seeing listens, and like Spotify still saying 100 listens this week and this stuff. I'm like, that's been not dead in the water, but it's not been used for months, like a year or two since we kind of just went our separate ways.
Yeah.
Which just shows you, like, we did, I think it was 80 episodes or 85 episodes of that. And just our schedules weren't working out. It was like, we're still good friends. She was here the last day, but it's like, it just didn't work out. But like this, people still want that kind of stuff. And there's still people DMing us saying, hey, are you getting back together? Are you doing that? And you build a following, you build a community, and people, they want to support you. And like we had a massive audience in the States, believe it or not, like huge audience in the States.
States are a big listener. Like even this guy DM'd me on Instagram probably a couple of months ago. And he was like, I have this podcast, I would love to interview you. And I was like, fantastic. Send me a link to the podcast. I'll take a look. And I was like, oh, you haven't released an episode since 2021. Are you starting up again? Is there like a series of people you're interviewing? And he was like, no. So he had two episodes out and he screenshot and sent me the stats. The stats were phenomenal on the two episodes. And it's like, he just couldn't go into the third one or so. He was like, right, I've got to start planning how to do this really well now because the first two episodes did so well. But it's 2024 now. it's like the perpetual kind of loop of what do I do next? It was just like, just make episode
sounds like
three.
Judy, actually.
Was it you who DM'd me?
No, that was back in 2018. It's a different one.
That brings me on nicely, though, because we will keep with format, but we have to do our update of YouTube.
Oh.
Shane didn't upload this week.
So, I didn't upload this week.
Well, some people might know what it is, so.
Okay. Do you want to, because you were the one that started this, weren't you?
No,
I did not start the YouTube thing at all. I am involuntarily I'm very triggered.
I think it was our thing,
still.
Wasn't it? Because we wanted to post more. And you're like, oh, let's do it together. I was like, sounds great. And then we roped the two girls in. And
it's a YouTube video a week is what they've committed us to.
Friday, YouTube out.
It's horrendous.
It's
every time.
It's tough, fantastic, yeah.
So we did the first week. I got to bed at 11:45 after a bottle of rosé because I just was like killing myself. And then, so we all got them in. We were all so proud of ourselves. And then in the next pod, I was like, oh God, but we've got to do it again. And Judy's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, well, we said 20 weeks. We'll do it for 20 weeks because if we're going to start something, it needs to be consistent. However, I completely stuffed up this week and there was major drama. I had to walk away from it. It was a Stephen Bartlett situation.
The group chat got very quiet.
Oh, yeah. I just ignore. When something goes wrong, I just ignore everybody because I'm not putting my head in the sand, but like the WhatsApp group is mental, guys. I'm sorry. Like you just scroll. And these two are really, you know, they're like, oh, I've got it up. It's only 11 o'clock, 11 a.m. And I'm like,
we are the two smuggest bastards.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you know when you're good, like?
But I gave up on Friday night and said, I'm just going to do this on a Monday. It's going to have to be a Monday. I can't do it on a Friday. I'm just too busy, blah, blah. And then on Sunday morning, I got up really early and thought, you know what? I've got some time on my hands. I'm going to clean up my laptop. So I cleaned my laptop. And then on Monday morning, I sat down at my desk and I went, right, I'm ready now. I'm going to finish this YouTube and didn't realize that I deleted everything. So there was nothing in my account card and everything I deleted and I'd also emptied the bin and I was like, so I just sent them the picture and just said, it's just not happening. However,
I've done that with client work.
Oh my God. I mean, it was
years ago when I first started, like, I've done that by accident, I deleted the files, and you're like, mm.
But I rang Aoife, and Aoife flew in from France. and she got my laptop open this evening. And then Jen said, hang on a minute, it's got to be in your deleted on your phone. Then Jay showed me how to delete it. You download it and it's ready to go. So I am back in action.
It doesn't count as this week's video though.
It's just so mean. But look, let's be honest, it's a different beast.
Mm. Yeah.
I love it though. I don't know why I love it, but I do.
I'm
quite a masochist, isn't it? I don't know, honestly. With my
I'm Team Judy on this one at the moment.
Yeah.
But I will persevere. I promise to do it.
No, to be fair, as I said, this is what I call home. I come down and turn the light on, press record, and I have a YouTube video where you guys have to set stuff up and this kind of stuff. Mm. But like the last day I shot one, I think it was 5 hours I worked on it and there's less than 100 views. So you're like, okay, cool, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
But do you think though with YouTube, because it is a different beast, and we were speaking because the guy's like, oh, you've got some shorts up on YouTube, Sean. I didn't even know I had them up, to be honest. I don't know when I did it, that were doing quite well. Surely those shorts will drive people into your channel.
You would think. It depends.
It's not like Instagram, but it's also the depth piece. You're making longer content. People are more going to stick around and stuff. So I do think it is valuable. I just think it's painful.
But I think that's the payoff though, isn't it? Mm. Once it tips like,
yeah.
Like you made a euro.
I made 98 cents.
Let's go.
I
know. Let's go.
I know.
Almost out of coffee. Like, monetize it.
Yeah.
But like, it's just, for me, it's kind of the steady at the moment where it's this podcast and having YouTube out and a YouTube video planning. Because I want, like, to me, that's a dream always from the last 5 or 10 years is full-time YouTuber. That's classic. That's just your job, making videos and creating content and no clients, no briefs, just having the absolute crack. And
it'd be so interesting to have the conversation with you in 100 weeks.
Yeah. Like, yeah, definitely.
You know?
When I'm blown up like.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a quick, passive there now. Yeah. But no, that to me is a massive dream of mine. So like, I'm going to keep moving towards that, but.
You won't forget us, will you?
Of course not.
I might forget. The first thing he does.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, I can't make it, sorry. What about, actually, I was saying to my sister about what happened and she said, were you doing YouTube? Are you going to be Hands? And I went, what are you talking about? And she was like, my nieces just watch Hands and wrapping parcels. And I was like, there's a little bit more to me than my hands, Claire, do you know what I mean? But it's hard, isn't it? Even I found it hard. Like, I was like, again, because I didn't want to see too much. I didn't, you know, I've never really watched YouTube apart from a couple of programs that you'd sent me. But I don't know what a YouTuber does.
So you should call them programs, just tells you how much YouTube she wants.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not TV, it's not BBC.
Yeah. I don't even know how to sign off. We had to learn that, didn't we?
Smash that subscribe button.
Subscribe, like and subscribe. That's it. So I just did what I thought I should do. And I did get loads of comments going, that's really different. And then I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to keep going with different. Difference always works quite well for me. Yeah. So I'll just stick with it.
We figured out in the podcast that we're all very, like, we all have very different relationships with YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, my sit down in the evening is YouTube. I'll watch 3 hours of YouTube instead of Sky or Netflix, this and stuff where I have that. That's my TV. But then.
Sorry, it's my abusive ex-husband.
Yeah. You're like, get away from me.
YouTube.
But yeah, we all have different relationships and it's just finding what works and finding that niche that people react to, I think, works.
Yeah. Actually, that was the most frustrating thing when everything went wrong last week. Jay sent me a YouTube video and I was like, I'm not good, because that's my relationship with YouTube, is just to find out how to do things. Well, and I was like, send me a YouTube video. Is it taking the piss?
But it's the different generations react to different things, where like, I think you've adapted to our generation a lot faster. Like, you Google immediately if you have a question. Like, my first thing, most things I've learned, photography, video, everything I've done, I've been self-taught, apart from the, like, I did filmmaking college, and it's been YouTube. Yeah. YouTube has taught me everything I know. Like,
yeah. Even in the agency, like, anytime we bring people in, we will work off the assumption that if you can't work YouTube to figure something out, then that's a massive problem. Like, if you come to me with like a question that you haven't like Googled or YouTube to try to figure out first, then there's an off kilter of skill set in terms of the research that goes into like just doing anything, because when you're in the marketing landscape, everything is changing so quickly that, like, I've been working in marketing coming up on 10 years, and I still every day I'm like, let me just quickly YouTube how to turn on consent mode now that that's new in Google Analytics, or you know, whatever the case might be. You just have to keep using YouTube to it's the fastest way anyway to learn. Yeah. Especially now with ChatGPT, you just take the link, dump it in, give me a step-by-step guide, you know, from this video. So
but that is actually infuriating when you want just like the three things to do and you have to watch a YouTube video to find out. I'm like, oh my God, just translate this.
It's like
this
recipe blogs. Yeah. Where it's like, let me tell you my life story about how I got to these.
Yeah.
Beetroot brownies.
and I thought you'd love the whole challenge of YouTube because, you know, you are a partner with YouTube. So what was blocking you?
What is blocking you?
Oh God, I don't know. I think it's just, I've been like, I started out making YouTube videos 15 years ago and I'm just like, oh God, it feels like I haven't progressed anymore or something like that, or I'm not quicker at editing it, or I don't know. It's just, I actually enjoyed the last one, and I enjoyed the last one because I edited it in CapCut instead of Premiere Pro. So Premiere Pro is this like, you know, very professional software, but there's no crack in there. Like there's no sound effects. There's no fun transitions. Like it's just not fun. But in CapCut, I was like, okay, this is a bit of fun. And then I could kind of mess around with the effects and take away the background and stuff. And I was like, okay, I actually did enjoy it more. So I think it's just, I've just got legacy bad feelings of being up all night editing something that gets 3 views.
Well, to be fair, Premiere Pro is notorious with error messages and you lose the project and it just cuts off or crashes on you and doesn't save. So stay away from Premiere Pro as well.
Yes, I don't use a channel.
Just popped out of my head, the thought of it. I think with all platforms though, I think, look, it's got to be fun, isn't it? I always say I'm not doing it if it doesn't bring me joy. And obviously last week it brought me 0 joy. But the finding it again worked like ecstatic. It was like I won the lotto. So what, moving forward, like, you know, we've spoken on the pod about you trying to put so much into Instagram and really, you know, you live in LinkedIn. So for all of you, like, where is your favorite place? Like, where do you see your future? Sort of what platforms do you want to make the most of?
I think I'm going to try what you're saying. Like all of my YouTube videos are very, okay, and then you press this and then you go there and then you do that and la la la, and like it's all screen share and it's like, oh, I'm just bored of my own voice by the end of it. But I was thinking of taking more what you do, because my Google Calendar, like, it's all color coded and it's how I know what's going on, you know, everything like up and ready is in blue at the start of every day, and it goes through everything. So I was like, I'll just review my Google Calendar and talk about the week, because Jay, you were suggesting that as well, just have chats. So I'm going to try that because I don't have time anyway to make the tutorials and see.
And I think that's what people are interested in. Like, they know that you can make these phenomenal videos, but they want to know what's going on behind the scenes. Mm. And I know that you're transitioning more into that now, Jen.
Yeah, I don't know. The way my content has been over the last kind of year and a half, it's been very top of funnel. And what I mean by that is that, like, the open audience, you just, like, when you create content organically on Instagram and it's short form, you're catching people for such a short amount of time. And then, you know, when the account got bigger, it just made me realize that, oh, look, people are just seeing me for a few seconds and that's fine. So I started realizing that I needed to funnel that into longer form content at the bare minimum, not to mind into some sort of sales funnel and flow, but I've started using a tool called ManyChat, and what it does is someone can comment on your post and it'll automatically send them a DM. And usually what I do is I create like a video about something. I'm like, if you want more information on this, just comment the word below and I'll ship it to your DMs. They get an automatic message in their DMs. But then at the end of that, want even more value? Tap here to subscribe on YouTube.
It's kind of cheating. It's kind of cheating.
Oh, yeah.
It's what?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of cheating. She's 170,000 followers. I'm just saying. It's kind of cheating.
170. Oh, or 170,000?
No, no, 137,000.
Oh, sorry, sorry. Still, oh, sorry, sorry. Sorry, sorry, it's...
Oh, yeah.
Only 137,000.
Yeah.
So no. Greedy.
Well, it grew the newsletter really quickly, which was nice, and now it's growing the YouTube channel nicely.
Oh, your newsletter really annoys me, because usually I scan through emails, delete, and with your one, I'm like, scan, and I'm like, I need to read this, and then I have to leave it in unread.
Unread,
and
then same. I'm
like, oh, unread. Jen, why the value?
It's too much damn value.
Summarize it in ChatGPT.
I feel
graph.
Like you should put that at the end. Yeah, here's what ChatGPT summarized. Just thank you.
Are many of you using ChatGPT?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All day. Yeah.
Yeah.
All day.
I've only started properly recently.
Yeah.
Like, for YouTube, Jen sent me one YouTube search engine optimization SEO. Mm. It's phenomenal. I just transcript the video I had, put it in, and then say, suggest titles, descriptions that are keyword friendly and stuff. And
yeah,
super handy. Like, would recommend.
I think going pro as well was the change. Yeah. In my
the amount of convincing that I had to do. And I was like, it will change your lives.
And it truly has. Like, to be able to have the profiles of all the businesses there and to feed it so much information.
Yeah.
I'll always be tweaking it. Like, do you know what I mean? But that
the custom models
took me time. Mm-hmm. The custom is.
I even write like link, like, so I do a post on Instagram and I'm cross posting to LinkedIn. I'm like, class you today, class, you're not having the crack and blah, blah, blah. And then I literally drag that into the ChatGPT and like rewrite this for LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Fantastic shoot today. Professional stuff. I was like, copy and paste, perfect.
Yeah. But do you remember when I sent them a bio? I did three different bios on myself in ChatGPT, and I was like, which should I go for? One, two, like, one was ridiculous. Like, I mean, I sound like around the world, like, but it was like the longest words. I'm not a reader, I'm not a writer. So anybody that got that would go, Sean didn't write that. There's no way. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I replied one.
Yeah,
it did
look amazing, but it was just like, hang on. Well, do you know what? We shouldn't even think like that, should we? Because I did go, you know, who does you want to think she is straight away? Do you know what I mean? But I kept putting it back in, go, just like tone that down a little bit. Mm,
more friendly.
More in this language, more casual, more et cetera. But
my favorite sentence for that is like, keep it professional, but a little less formal.
Yes, yes. Perfect. Yeah. As an expert.
Yeah, and then it completely changes the tone of how it, because it always fits back in like professional jargon that's just useless.
Yeah.
So you kind of rewrite everything anyway.
I had a great one with it the other day. Do you know when you do a personality test and they send you kind of the results, but there's a practitioner or someone like that who's like, now to analyze the results, let's set up another call. And you're like, oh my gosh, like, what does it all mean?
I just upgraded.
So I was able to upload the image of the results I was like, what's the story here? And then it was like, grrr, and I was like, I don't need the practitioner. So that's one job already.
Yeah. I recently fixed the tumble dryer with it by taking a picture of the tumble dryer and being like, can you give me a step-by-step guide on how to fix this problem in this? They'll figure out the model of it and everything else in between. But the example that they gave when they rolled out the image version was this really complex parking sign. And it had all these different rules and it was like all small text, big text and everything. And someone just taking a picture and be like, how long can I park here for? And what are the rules? And it just like 2 hours.
Here you go. I love it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Such a good idea. And Jay, for you, like, where do you think you will live more moving forward?
Like, I love Instagram. I waste so much time on TikTok. Like, I call it death scrolls, where I'll just get lost and I'm like, that was an hour. Do you know, like, but YouTube is my goal, where I want to be. It's funny enough, though, ironically, it's TikTok and Instagram, my biggest audiences.
Yeah. But what do we think? Like, obviously, you know, TikTok went down again. I think it's the third time in a matter of weeks. A lot of people have put a lot of their attention in that space. Like, it's important to have the other pieces of the puzzle.
I think the only safe places at the moment are genuinely the place to build our YouTube and newsletter.
Yeah.
Technically, anything else can go. Instagram can go tomorrow. TikTok can go tomorrow. And then let's say you have 137,000 subscribers and...
Yeah.
But it's just building that, building that off. Right? But so, like, you know what I mean? If Instagram say, no, you're a phony, it cuts you off, you're going to have a hard time getting back. Like, it's just having those offline audiences if you can. And I know YouTube is online, but it's
YouTube is a little bit at risk, though, because there's no direct competitor to it. Well, this is just my conspiracy theory, but I often wonder, will YouTube ever face that clash of being the monopoly in the market, especially with the EU, because like a lot of companies are getting the stamp on us for that. So maybe just newsletter, but that could
be. But see, then the argument could be that Vimeo is a competitor and they could, YouTube could use that argument that, well, no, we Vimeo. Yeah, like Leah uses Vimeo.
Yeah.
And I use Vimeo.
For work.
Yeah, and we I use Vimeo for like workshop library in the club because it was much easier to use.
Because it's private, as it is.
And when we worked with the doing this program with an accelerator in the US, and they were adamant that we put everything on Vimeo so that they could keep the rights to the content as opposed to giving YouTube the rights, and we were like, YouTube aren't going to want this. Relax.
Bless. I want to know, and I'm actually going to ask you guys in the audience in a second, so think about it. Is there a favourite episode that we've done so far or something that's been your favourite thing?
Stephen Barrett's podcast? Or
No, just ours. Is there a favourite one for you, Jude?
Thanks for tuning in to part one of the Unbranded Podcast live recording. Don't miss part two, coming soon in the next episode.